Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a Dave original podcast.
And welcome to the Hypothetical Podcast. I'm your host, Maisie Adam. My guests today will be Josh Widdicombe and James A. Caster. How are you doing, guys?
Very good.
Good, thank you, Maisie.
Yep.
Good.
How are you?
Yes, very well. Very well. Delighted to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time.
It's a joy to be on your show. And you're doing a very good job of hosting it so far, I think.
So far, so good.
May we take a moment to comment on the Chortle Award in the background?
Yeah, well done.
Congratulations.
Right, there isn't a Chortle Award. Right, no, I'm not having that. This isn't going to be a thing.
Did you buy the backlight before you had the award?
Stop it. There is no
Chortle... It looks like the cover of Dark Side of the Moon, the way the light projects through it, I think. It's quite nice.
There isn't a Chortle Award in the background. In my background, there is a glimpse of a wardrobe and... one of those scratch maps on the wall. That's what we've got. There's no Chortle Award.
Okay.
I mean, I have a Chortle Award, thanks for bringing it up, but it's not in view because I'm a humble and modest host.
Our eyes deceived us. Apologies, Maisie.
Yeah.
That's a muted apology, James. But we'll move on because less about me, more about you. Today, you will of course be competing against each other for this week's hypothetical prizes. Do you want to hear what they are?
Yeah?
Yeah, Chortle Award?
You are competing for a walk-in wardrobe.
Oh,
you're also
nice.
Competing for a motorised office chair and a pair of platform shoes with a miniature train set in the soles.
Oh, lovely.
This week, you'll be going head-to-head again to see who's best. Who will come out on top? Let's find out in this week's What Would You Do? I don't like to keep bringing it up. But when I was at the Chortle Awards, I had to quickly run away from it to go and do a corporate over the road where I was doing 10 minutes of stand-up, and the host was none other than Planet Saviour Chris Packham.
Oh, wow.
Oh, lovely.
Love Chris Packham.
Right?
Yeah.
What a guy.
Beat him on Pointless.
Did you?
Did you really?
Yeah, me and my dad beat him and his daughter.
Now we know how much you hate the planet.
Yeah.
As comedians, you'll know that there's nothing better to go on and do a comedy set than following a sort of 10-minute speech about how the planet's in dire situation and that the COP26 summit was completely pointless. That's what I always like to go on and follow. And such was the case at this gig. But after the runaway success of Chris Packham, Mary Berry and Monty Don, TV has decided that the only way to fight falling ratings is to focus on employing experts. If you ever want to work in TV again, you need to rebrand yourself as the next big TV expert. Now, here are the rules. The three shows looking for experts are Antiques Roadshow, Crufts and Clarkson's Farm.
Clarkson's Farm.
Wow.
Yeah. You know Clarkson's Farm. You're always banging on about how much you love Clarkson's Farm.
I've certainly seen it listed on Amazon. I'm aware of Clarkson's Farm. It's meant to be surprisingly good, isn't it, Clarkson's Farm? But I've not seen it.
You're aware of his work?
I'm aware of his work.
Big fans?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen Clarkson's Farm. I have heard it's very good. One of the things about Clarkson, of course, is that he does have quite an eye for making good television. He does know what makes a good TV show.
Yeah.
He's just one of the worst human beings who's ever existed.
Oh, I don't know what's given you that impression. I think that's jumping massively to conclusions.
I think we've learned by now, James, there's a lot of bad people that make very good TV, and we've got to make our peace with that, James.
In fact, being a good person holds you back a lot of the time.
Do you think that's where you two are going wrong? You're just two good guys.
We're just two good guys.
Oh, there's two lovely men. Yeah. That's what they'd say.
So which of those shows would you be drawn to as an expert? Have you got expertise in antiques, in dog grooming, or in farming with Jeremy Clarkson?
Well, I grew up in, not in a farming community. That's too far. That's too big a claim.
Amish?
Strange that I ended up on TV, really, because I wasn't even aware of its existence.
You've done so well to get away.
I grew up in Devon. So I'm aware of farmers and I'm aware of their practices. And so I'd possibly be more able to repeat the kind of lingo of farming, certainly than I would with dogs.
Can we get some of that lingo? What's some farming lingo?
Tractor.
Tractor.
Hello.
So what would happen on Clarkson's Farm? Give me an example of what would happen. He'd be struggling to put up a fence.
Yeah.
I would then, in that situation, suggest baler twine, which I think is quite a good bit of farming lingo.
Oh, now we're getting into lingo, yeah.
Where's this come from?
Baler twine.
Are you aware of baler twine? That's the string that goes around hay bales.
No.
That then has the secondary purpose of being used as string in other contexts.
Well, it's shaping up to be a great episode already. Baylor Twine, that'll win a BAFTA. That'll win a BAFTA.
It's not all about awards, Maisie, despite the way that your sitting room's been laid out.
Stop, there's no awards in my background.
But I also think, from my knowledge of Clarkson's Farm, there's a situation where he's kind of surrounded by kind of quirky figures from the countryside. So if you weren't that much of an expert... Actually, it would give him a chance to do kind of looks at camera as if, look at what I'm dealing with here.
Oh, yeah.
So actually, it would be a situation where I'd posit myself as like a kind of quirky countryside guy who's constantly suggesting baler twine. And Jeremy can have a lot of fun with that in his kind of ad-libs to camera.
Okay, so you reckon you could go for... I mean, it is saying that you want to be experts and already you've gone, well, I'd assign myself as the novice on the farm, so...
No, I wouldn't be a novice. I'd be someone who's kind of a bit two-dimensional and just kind of offering the same kind of advice, whatever the situation.
That'll be a stretch for you, Josh. James, which one are you drawn to?
Crufts, I reckon.
Crufts?
Yesterday I met my friend's new dog, a cockapoo puppy, and I absolutely loved it. So I reckon I'd just enjoy hanging out with all the dogs.
Oh, okay. I mean, I would imagine that if your role on Crufts is expert, you'd be one of the lads in like a smart jacket, you know, maybe beige trousers, and you can't just go up and start going, oh, he's a good boy.
Well, I'm the expert. I can do what I want.
Oh, okay. You're going
to
bring a new...
So I can do what I want. If I'm the expert and I go up to him and I'm like, come here, and I'm like, you know, having a good old time, then people have to let me do whatever I want to their dogs.
You could be rolling around on the floor with the dogs, James. That kind of, you know, like, properly, like, loving it.
Yeah, letting them lick your face.
Yeah. And then I'd just be like, well, he's the expert. I guess this is okay.
How would you choose who would win? Just which one is drawn to you the most?
Yeah, which one I had the best bond with. Yeah.
So all these people who've spent ages training it to do special tricks, to walk in a certain way, they've permed its hair maybe.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it comes down to which one is attracted to you and
it comes down to personality, and that's what really counts in life, Maisie, is who you are on the inside. And that is what I'm going to be judging the dogs on. And that is a lesson for all the dog groomers, is that it's not about all this superficial, shallow stuff that they put so much value on. It's about who you are within. And they're going to learn that when I'm one of the experts on crufts. It's about who you are, not what you look like.
I like that. That's kind of like, you know, when they do those Miss World competitions and they ask them really quite big questions, like how would you solve world peace?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're trying to solve world peace, Maisie, but we've each got our own views on how the world should be run. But
interesting.
Yeah, interesting that you feel that. That would be an issue, world peace.
Who's going to get rid of world peace, Maisie?
Well, this is what I love about those competitions, is they always give an answer of like, I just think that a positive mindset is what's required in the world. Yeah. And if we all had a positive mindset and woke up and were thankful for what we have, the world would be a better place. And I honestly think if
I forgot that Kermit entered Miss World.
Vote me for Miss World. Okay. James, in your Crufts show, are you the main host or the main judge? Is there any sidekick or fellow adjudicators with you?
Well, I'd probably...
Or is it just one man and his dogs?
Bring in my favourite TV dog, Matthew Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
And Matthew Crosby, for those listeners who don't know, wonderful comedian, writer, and he co-hosted a show with Tim Brooke Taylor for a while on CBBC, I think, where he dressed up as a dog.
James, it was on Primetime BBC.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it was on Primetime BBC. They showed animal clips. And... Matthew would dress up as a dog for the whole thing and would co-host it as a dog.
You're lying.
No, he's not lying.
Not lying.
Animal Antics.
Animal Antics, it was called. I really loved it. I really loved Crosby as Sparky the dog. And I do miss it now it's not on TV. And so I would want Matthew as Sparky the dog.
I can't believe I've missed this. So Matthew Crosby would be dressed, what, like in floppy ears and face paint?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a photo on my phone of it. It won't really help the...
We'll tweet it out. We'll tweet it out. That's what we say, isn't it?
Oh, good Lord. It's like that animal in, you know, in The Shining, when they go upstairs and there's an animal in the hotel room being quite naughty.
Yeah.
Looks like that. That's harrowing. That's a really harrowing picture.
Would you then have him win, James, because you bonded the best with him and then he'd win Crufts?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he would be... I mean, I have bonded very well with Matthew over the years, so I think, he'd be in with a chance of winning, even though he's the guest judge.
So there'd be all these people who've worked tirelessly to get their dog to trot, to present themselves in a good way, and then Matthew Crosby would appear in face paint and full costume, go bounding up to you, knock you over, lick your face as you lie down and try to calm and go, good boy, good boy, good boy, and that's the winner of Crufts.
Sounds about right, yeah. And that's a lesson for all the people who have entered their dogs and made their dogs do all these awful things. Instead of just enjoying being a dog, they've had to, you know, run through hoops and be all obedient and not enjoy their lives, even though they've got, you know, they've got 15 years if they're lucky, a lot of these small little animals, and they just want to run around in fields and have a good time and just show their owner love.
Like Matthew Crosby does.
It's just like Matthew Crosby... really makes the most of the life that he's got and the time that he's got on this world. He just has a nice time and he just shows people a lot of love and he gets a lot of love back in return. And that is how dogs should be living their lives.
Would you end Crufts by releasing all the dogs into the wild, James, and go, run free? Yeah.
Release them back into the wild and the owners know that before it happens, that if you don't win, then your dog gets released back into the wild. Maybe the Yorkshire Moors, if that helps me.
Oh, for crying
out. Right, no, come on. I don't want any kiss-ass stuff here. Right, you could just release them onto... Where would you release them? Maybe onto Josh's farm?
Well, I mean, even if you weren't here, I'd probably release them onto the moors. I think that's quite a nice place for dogs to run.
Okay, right, that's got you a point now you've said that. That's fine.
Yeah, because isn't Crufts like... It'll be where's Crufts? Earl's Court or something. So essentially you're just going to be releasing them into kind of West London.
Yeah, that's not nice for any dog.
Oh, that's a bit Disney. You know, you get Disney films like that.
Oh, yes. Well, yes, that's very true.
Dogs running hellfire over Portobello Market as people are trying to sell vegetables.
Catching a double-decker bus over to Big Ben.
Yeah, sounds pretty good to me.
Knocking over a man in a bowler hat. Yeah, 100%. Right, I'm not only awarding points. I'm commissioning the show right here, right now, James. Yes. That's it. I'll give you a full 5 points. I think.
For crying out loud.
There you go, right, and for that's minus one already.
What okay? do you mean?
For yes. you, Josh.
Yes.
I won't have that on this show. I don't know how you run your show. Well, I do know how you run your show because I've been on it.
You get stressed every time.
Yeah. You didn't do very well, did you?
I don't get stressed. I'm firm but fair.
You get really stressed.
Right. So 5 points for James, minus one for the unhelpful comment there, Josh. It's not in the spirit of the game.
Just showing passion.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now for our next round, Not for a Million Quid, where our contestants bid to see who would pay the least to do the thing in the question. I'll give the question, then you each bid a figure. The winner is whoever bids lowest and can justify being able to cope with it. So, Josh and James.
Yes.
How much for you to be accompanied by one of your old teachers on every holiday you take for the rest of your life?
Oh, God.
No rules, except you must pick a real teacher and try not to use real names if they've done something illegal.
Okay, fine. Yes.
I've met one of Josh's old teachers.
You've met one of Josh's old teachers. How did that come about?
Well, we did this question on the show in the first series, and every Not for a Million Quid in the first series, I did a little video for. And so I met one of Josh's teachers, and we went to...
You went to the seaside, didn't you, with Miss Blackwell?
With Miss Blackwell, and it was a very miserable day, like the really overcast weather. And Mrs. Blackwell was a very good sport.
Was she?
You know,
she was very nice. I probably would choose her.
Yeah.
I once went for a drink with her after she came to see me do a gig. And it was great because we just talked about, you suddenly just get the background to everything you'd observed as a 15-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Suddenly you saw all your teachers as human beings for the first time rather than teachers. So I loved it. I probably would enjoy it.
She sounds a legend.
Yeah. It was between her and Mr. Sutton, who taught drama. He was eccentric. He spoke Klingon. And when you went into his class... He'd be doing kind of a martial art where he'd be kind of dancing with a stick while he walked into the drama studio. I think for a period he lived in a tent by a waterfall as well while he was teaching at our school. He was the absolute inspiring teacher you'd get in like something like Grange Hill. Do you know what I mean?
You know what I'd worry about with Miss Blackwell though?
Yeah.
You falling in love?
That's true. There was a glint in your eyes when you were reminiscing about that post-gig drink.
There was other people there.
It felt like it should have backing music on it.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. This is unfair.
I would worry. You are happily married.
I am, yeah.
You've got a lovely family.
Yeah.
You're a lovely man.
But you get him in a ski chalet with Miss Blackwell and I think...
I would worry.
I think anything could happen.
Come on now, Maisie. I'm not going skiing. There's no way you're going skiing.
No.
You're going for a nice country walk.
Exactly.
Very little baler twine up on the slopes.
Yeah. So who are you going for out of the two then? Miss Blackwell or Mr. Sutton? For every holiday for the rest of your life.
Mr. Sutton to stop those vile rumours.
Those vicious rumours.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said, like, it sounds like you'd be quite sort of... yin and yang to each other. Like, he's very eccentric, very sort of out there. And right. then I think you would bring a sort of nice, calm beige.
Where are you going with this?
Beige!
It's incredible.
But listen, that's sometimes needed when you've got an eccentric person on a travelogue. You can't both be the fun one, Josh.
So you're saying I, the professional comedian, have become Mr. Sutton straight man?
You'd be the straight man. 100%.
Would I continue to call him Mr. Sutton?
The whole time. You're never going to get on first name terms with him.
No.
And that sort of leans into his enigmatic vibe, I think, that you never know what this man's name is. He's just Mr. Sutton.
Yeah, of course.
Is he still teaching, do you know?
I did a gig at the school about 5 years ago and he was still there.
Things are going well.
What do you mean? For me?
You did a gig at your school, yeah.
Yeah, because it was in financial trouble and I needed to help it out.
Oh, yes.
How are you feeling, Maisie?
Oh, how does that feel, Maisie, you absolute arsehole?
I'm sorry if you're happy with the Tory cuts in comprehensive education, Maisie, but...
Maisie.
Oh, God, that is a backfire.
you don't win crufts like that with that attitude.
No. Let the record state that I hope that all state schools are thriving, both financially and within the curriculum. Moving on, James Acaster, which teacher that I hope is alive, well, and enjoying the profession are you taking?
I don't know. It's very difficult for me.
Why is it difficult? Have you got strained relationships with your teachers?
I just don't think, holidays for me are, holidays with the right people are a lovely break.
Yep.
And holidays with the wrong people are constant, doing stuff you don't want to do, trying not to get in an argument with this person.
100%.
So, a lot of nice old teachers, but, I don't think I'd want to go on holiday with them. But then I thought, from the ages of 17 to 20, 21, roughly, I had singing lessons. and I had a singing teacher. And she was a laugh and eccentric.
Yeah.
And I think I could go on holiday with her every year for the rest of my life.
Were you really good?
Yeah, can we just pause here on the singing lessons for a bit, please?
Because you don't have a voice that there's three people here that shouldn't throw stones because they're in glass houses, but you don't have a voice that I would say, naturally, I would say would lead to being a voice of an angel.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what she said when she was teaching me.
I'd say, in fact, this is one of the ugliest voiced podcast trios in the UK.
Yeah.
There's no danger of us making a band, is there, anytime soon?
Yeah.
If we did a sort of a barbershop quartet thing, it would be absolutely horrific.
Andy Parsons rounding it off. I got the old...
Oh, good to see you again, Sue Pollard. Nice to catch up.
Yeah, well, in my first singing lesson, she played a scale on the piano and I had to, sing along to it. Just la, 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 up and down. And she stopped, while I was midway through the scale, and she went, "I can't teach you. I can't teach you." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "This isn't non-start.
You've got it all already. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. You've already got you're the title package."
There's nothing I can teach you.
And I had to say to her, I said to her, "Look, can you just give me some homework? And I'll go away and practice. And if I'm not any better..."
Must be the only kid in the world asking for singing homework.
Yeah. I said, "Look, if I'm no better by next week, then you don't have to teach me. But if I've improved even a little bit, then you've got to teach me." She went, "Okay," and made that deal with me. And then I went back the following week and I'd marginally improved.
Oh.
And she was like, "Okay, fine. We'll do this."
This is really sounding like, you know, when people used to go on X Factor and it was a no, and then they'd stand and plead with the panel, go, "Please, just give me a chance. I know I can get better." And then at most they might, which is what they've done with you, James, go, "All right, fine, we'll send you to boot camp and you last one more week." But really, it's prolonging the pain.
I lasted three more years. I'll have you know.
Can I ask, like, as a singing teacher, isn't the whole thing, like, who's that guy that teaches the, like, military wives and stuff?
Gareth Malone.
Gareth Malone.
Yeah.
Isn't the whole thing, everyone can sing, I've just got to bring it out of them? Not four notes in.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. This isn't happening. Like, that feels like you're not doing your job.
No go.
Yeah.
I reckon you talk to Gareth Malone off camera and he'll go, not everyone can sing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
In front of the camera, he's saying that, and they're putting the ones who have managed to do it on camera.
Okay. Yeah.
But off camera, he's going, I've met a lot of no-hopers.
Off camera, there's a lot of military wives just saying the scale at the same note throughout the whole thing.
And he's like...
pleading for homework. Please, Gareth. Yeah.
It's like, this isn't making the edit. This military wife, she's not, no way. Because the reason I'd taken the singing lessons is because I was in a band. We wanted to do vocal harmonies. We recorded ourselves doing some a cappella vocal.
The band. I remember.
Yeah. But like, in those 3 years I had the singing lessons, me and my teacher, Cecilia, we really got on. I ended up her number one house sitter. I'd house sit for her whenever she went away. Hung out with her outside of singing lessons. We'd go to some dinner parties that she had.
Oh my God.
Hang out with her mates. So I could go on holiday with her.
Cecilia, the singing teacher. You were hanging out, going to dinner parties.
Yeah.
It sounds like she lives quite a decadent lifestyle.
How would it go when she turned up at the dinner party with a 16-year-old boy who was bad at singing?
Well, no, I wasn't 16.
All right.
So I was 18. When I started the singing lessons, I wouldn't sing at the dinner parties. and usually the dinner parties were a real rogues gallery anyway.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was sticking out like a sore thumb. Yeah. We were all a bunch of waifs and strays.
Oh, okay.
But I would house sit loads. You know, I knew a cat very well because of house sitting. Nikita the cat.
Nikita the cat.
Who, when she died, Nikita, she got put in the freezer.
What?
Sorry, what?
What, like Walt Disney?
Yeah.
In case she wants to be brought back to life in the when the technology is available. Like Demolition Cat.
Cecilia wanted to cremate her in the back garden.
Well, she's gone too far in completely the opposite direction by freezing it.
Well, she wasn't allowed to do it. But she was allowed to do it in one of the other homes that she owned. I can't remember if it was the one in France or the one in Italy. So until she was going to go there, she put the cat in the freezer so she could take it with her to that home and burn it.
Bagged it up and put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
How did she get it through customs?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What have you got in there, madam? Oh, no, it's just a frozen cat.
It's a frozen cat.
It's thawing out.
Okay. Any holidays that you'd like to go on with Cecilia James?
I guess I'd like to go to Italy.
Italy.
She knows a lot about Italy, and to go to Venice with her. And I've never been to Venice before. I'd like to go there.
Nice tour guide. Josh, where's first stop on your tour with Mr. Sutton?
I think we do probably India and stuff, wouldn't we? We'd probably go and find ourselves in Asia. Yeah.
Yes, he sounds like he's ready for an Eat, Pray, Love era, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. We'd probably go to a kind of a retreat. Or maybe we'd do the Amazon. What's that thing that people go and take that weird drug with a tribe and they...
Ayahuasca.
I bet he'd be well into that. Never shut up about it, that kind of thing.
What's it called?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
A lot of people, love it. They say it calls to you.
Oh.
The experience. It's this spiritual experience, religious experience almost.
Wow.
I think I could do with it because some people I know who I consider to be friends consider me beige.
Yeah, you could do with a bit of ayahuasca in your life, Josh.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Okay, I'll give points to you, Josh. I'll give you 5 points.
Oh, well, I know I've done this.
No.
I've done that.
What?
Because then that minus one that you handed out becomes all important. So you've done that to make a bigger point about people.
That would just be cruel, though, wouldn't it, to do that and childish. You've got 5 points because I think you need some ayahuasca in your life.
Yeah.
And I think you and Mr. Sutton would be a nice little duo. And I don't think James and Cecilia's sordid relationship needs any more encouragement, to be honest.
No, I agree. I think a line needs drawing under that whole chapter of his life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll tot up the points. Just give me a minute with my abacus. So that is 5 points for James Acaster. And because of your minus one, Josh, it would have been a draw. But it's 5-4 due to your attitude earlier on in the show.
That's unacceptable presenting. Which, I just think that's petty.
I just think if you'd have come with a better attitude, you'd have had it all to play for. Listen, yeah. I would love to have given you another round, maybe to try and win it back, Josh, but I'm afraid I don't make the rules. That's all we've got time for on this week's hypothetical podcast. And this week's winner is... I wonder who it is. It's James Acaster. Oh. You win all the hypothetical prizes. Congratulations.
Thank you, Maisie. This means the world. Commiserations, Josh.
Thank you.
Maybe next time you'll have a better attitude.
Oh, for God's sake, I won't.
We can hope so. Maybe the ayahuasca will kick in and he'll come back a lot more enlightened and calm and, frankly, a better colleague for us all. Thanks to everyone for listening and someone else. We'll see you next week.
Hypothetical the Podcast is a Hattrick production for Dave. All episodes of Hypothetical the TV show are available on UK TV Play.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to nose around a comedian's house, take their stuff and see how much money you can make by selling it?
No, that's a pretty niche thing, to be honest. Bit creepy, really.
But that's the premise of Dave's brand new comedy podcast, Hard Sell, with me, Josh Jones.
And me, Darren Harrier. We're going to travel the country, visiting the homes of different comedians, chatting about their spending habits before grabbing one of their favourite possessions and giving ourselves 1 week to try and sell it for charity. In a competition to see who can raise the most money.
It's a right laugh as we get to meet amazing funny people like Kima Bob, Joel Dommett, Ria Lina, Ivo Graham, Josh Pugh and lots more.
But also sort of like an incredibly stressful cheese dream where we're trying to shift what are essentially stolen goods against the clock. It's bonkers.
Hard Sell with Josh Jones
and Darren Harrier.
Available now wherever you get your podcasts.